is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show here on channelradio.co.uk/2 in association with bizradio.co.uk. On Tuesday, the 12th of February, you're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and my co-host, the absolutely lovely snowboarding queen.
It's me.
Bird on a bike.
Can I just say?
Yeah.
I went 75 kilometres an hour.
Did you really?
Yep. And I beat my little one.
On a bike or a snowboard?
On a snowboard.
Or a snowboard on a bike?
I tell you, it was blue skies, powder, jumping. It's very unusual to have blue
75
skies.
75 miles an hour.
75 kilometres an hour.
Kilometres an hour.
Still fast, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, very.
There, thanks.
Blimey.
That
was,
I know.
It was a bit steep.
No.
Did you stop?
No, and this is the funniest thing. You can't go fast too much on a steep, but you have to... Yeah. You have to be, that's more technical, the steeper it is. So when somebody goes, oh, is it a black? You go, well, you just got to be more technical on it.
Yeah.
You can't go as fast. But yeah, amazing.
Do you ski as well as snowboard?
I've done skiing in the past, probably when I was about 18, 19. Mm. And we were talking about this. It's like, how long do you stay on a snowboard?
Mm.
You know, when do I cross back over again?
Yeah.
My little one's going, you're not, Mum, you're going to stay on a board. It's just brilliant. You know, you just go, wow, thank you for this. Just to spend that time.
Did I ever tell you my snowboarding story?
Tell us.
Well, a million years ago, my eldest son was only 6, and he could ski and still can. And we were in Colorado, in a place called Steamboat Springs, on Christmas Day. And we were going to the top of the mountain in the gondola. Yeah. I can't ski. I couldn't ski then. I still can't ski now. But I throw myself off a mountain and hope I stop at the bottom. Yeah. Anyway.
Hold on. Yeah. So we've got no lessons.
Nah.
You've got skis on your feet, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm just
loving this now.
Yeah. It wasn't the story I was going to tell. I got to the top of the mountain and they're going, well, you've got a choice of 4 black runs or a double diamond. I'm going, I've never skied before. And they go, ah. You might want to walk down. And,
yeah.
Anyway, it was terrifying. Anyway, whatever. There was a guy, an American guy, in the gondola with us with a snowboard, yeah? And we just got chatting on the way up there because it was quite a long ride. And I said, oh, wow, you know, he was a real dude, you know, he had all the gear and stuff. And I said, you know, you've been snowboarding long. And he went, no, I've never snowboarded ever. I said, can you ski? He said, I skied once. And I thought, kindred spirit here. we're both going to walk down this mountain. Anyway, we got to the top and it went off somewhere. And I eventually got to the bottom, mostly because I fell all the way. And I'm standing at the bottom or sitting at the bottom. And I see this guy come down the mountain on this snowboard. And halfway down, he jumped and cleared 2 pine trees.
Mm.
And while he was in the air, he did a loop-the-loop, landed perfectly, glided to a halt in front of the bar we were all sitting at, threw up a huge shower of snow and just stepped off the board. And everybody went, that's unbelievable. And I turned to the guy that was sat next to me and I went, I met him in the lift, in the gondola going up. He's never snowboarded in his life. And he went, yeah, whatever. And I went, no, seriously, he's never snowboarded. He said, you do know who that is, don't you? And I went, no. Apparently he's the world surfing champion. It's just, you know, whatever.
Exactly.
Unbelievable. Exactly. Yeah. So you had a good time.
It was amazing. Yeah. Thank you. Very blessed with the weather. Very blessed. And it's, you know, I've been to Japan thinking, you know, you chase the powder and you're going to come through and there's no powder and it's lovely. But, you know, so you are really in the lap of the gods with the weather.
Yeah.
Of whether you have a great week or you have to, you know, compromise with it. And
we
didn't have too much compromising. But it's just a great time to play, have fun, you know, with your family.
Yeah. And hit a mountain at 75 Ks.
Right. Louis was gutted. He's going, Mum, mine hasn't come up with that. I'm like, Mum's still faster than you. No, you're not. No, you're not.
Loser.
You might be 17, but Mummy's still faster this year. He's like, ego was like, no. Loved it.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, we got a bit of a special this week.
Why?
Well, I just decided that it was about time we had a bit of a special.
It's very professional this week.
Yeah. No, don't get too carried away.
I am. I'm like, what has he got in store this week?
Yeah. So we're going to be looking at... skills, careers, jobs and stuff like that. And we've got 2 very interesting guests to talk to who are both expert in their fields at these kind of issues. So we're going to be hearing from them during the course of the show. And then we're also going to have a bit of masterminding at the end. So if you want to contribute, then we'd love to hear from you. And the easiest way to do that really is to tweet me. at VanillaWeb and use the hashtag #BBunker. And
if you don't use the hashtag, we will not see
find,
it.
Yeah, we can't
so
find
you. Have to, if you really want us to speak, and we will every time, it just builds and builds and builds a conversation. Yeah. So if you want to speak to us today, you must put hashtag #BB, fixing this bunker.
Cool. Good. I've had a message. Tuned on the Business Bunker on our new beta channel app, mobile app. That's sounding great.
Really?
Yeah, apparently. We're going to have a new app, apparently.
Wow, who Good. Knew?
Yeah. Well, no one until about 30 seconds ago.
Thanks. How exciting.
Yeah.
Anyway, how are you?
I'm okay, thanks, yeah.
What's new this week?
Very busy. Lots.
What do you mean busy? Busy being busy or busy, productive busy?
Nah, just busy being busy with loads of little shenanigans going on and stuff like that.
It's a great word, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. I've got a treat in store tomorrow. I've got BT engineers coming. That'll be a laugh, won't it?
Really?
Yeah. Oh, that company drives me bonkers. I know. They really do.
But it's not their fault who are coming.
Well, it kind of is and it kind of isn't.
Explain.
Well, basically, I've had to move broadband because I was using a WiMAX service, but it's got to the point where I'm at the very end of the link and the quality of the service has just fallen away, basically because I'm just too far away. So I've had to go back to fixed broadband. So I investigated all the market and the best offer I could come up with was from BT, and they actually guaranteed a download speed of at least 13 megabits. They sold me a 35 megabit package, a super fast broadband, but I guaranteed 13 megabytes. Well, it went live at the weekend. 3.
Really?
Yeah. So I rang to lodge a complaint. They did an investigation and went, oh, we don't know. We'll send an engineer on Monday. Yeah. On Sunday, I got a no-reply email saying, thank you for cancelling your engineer. What? I'm glad it's all resolved now and you're working fine. So I did a speed test, thinking they may have fixed it, and I was getting 2 megabytes. So I had to ring up and go through the whole process again, and I said, why did you cancel this? And they went, we don't know. But why did you cancel it? We don't know. I said, well, is someone coming on Monday? And they went, no, it's cancelled. So they're coming tomorrow. Mm. But in the interim, I think I've found out what the problem is.
Mm-hmm.
It appears to be the faceplate on the BT master socket that comes into the house. But apparently that's my fault. And I have to pay £85 for them to come and prove that it's there. And then I have to replace it, even though they put it in.
So here's my question to you.
Yeah.
You dislike the company.
Hmm. Yeah.
But you still went ahead and created a service with them.
Yeah, there's a reason for that. Because despite all the hot air and baloney, BT have a monopoly on the telecoms infrastructure. No matter who you go with, if there's a problem, they have to talk to BT.
Yeah.
So all you're doing is adding a link in the chain.
Yeah.
BT is still going to be BT, and they're still going to, you know, farm it out to Openreach and go, there's a problem. Whoever you bought the service from, because they're just wholesaling it. I mean, I know they do have their own, LNRs or whatever. Mm-hmm. So in the exchange, some of them have their own equipment, yeah. But at the end of the day, the bit of cable that arrives at my house was provided by BT and will always have been provided by BT, and it's down to BT to fix it, no matter who the customer is.
Yeah.
So we've got no way out of it, really. I mean, the problem is, as far as I'm concerned with BT, they're too big, yeah, and they've tried to automate too many things. And the problem with automation is if you don't check what you're sending, it becomes a nonsense. And my big killer is no reply emails. They send you a confirmation email and get it wrong. There's no ability to go back and go, do you know what, you've got this wrong. They must send out hundreds of engineers a week on failed missions that if only they would interact with their customers, they could save money, yeah, by the customer going, no, you've got that wrong. Because they get it wrong too often. Like, you know, nobody can tell me why they cancelled the engineer. They just don't know why. So, obviously, something went wrong in the automation process. Anyway, so that's been exciting me all weekend. However, I did buy, and to be fair to them, it is kind of half working. I bought one of the new Wi-Fi mesh systems that go with it. And that's far better than conventional Wi-Fi so far, even though my broadband doesn't work anyway. But there you go. So that's me. What have you been doing? No, you've been snowboarding, haven't you? Yeah.
I did write and everything when I'm away.
Yeah.
It's really, yeah. We took a family game called Sust.
Mm. Hold on a minute. Sorry. Amanda found a problem. Sorry. Apparently. Right. Yeah.
Exactly. Very important. And yeah. We've got this game called Sust, and it's really interesting. It's asking that person what they would do in a scenario. Mm. And you think, I know this person. I know what they would do. Mm. I can't even think. And everybody knew me inside and out. So clearly I'm very good at articulating who I am.
Yep.
Got no idea who Stephen is. He's my other half. Got no idea. My son, I knew him. It's just really interesting, but it's a really nice thing to grow and think, well, what would I have done in that situation? You know, rather than playing a game that has no meaning, you get to know the family more. But in these weird scenarios, it's brilliant. I should bring it in because it's a great game and they've got different levels of what to do and what to learn about each other. But it's all about a family game. Sust. Sust.
Sust.
Yeah, it's a little card game. You can take it everywhere you go. We got it at Christmas. And we went, oh, let's take that snowboarding. You could turn it into a drinking game.
Was it any good at snowboarding?
It wasn't, but we were very good at playing it.
Yeah. Isn't that difficult reading the cards at 75Ks? Yeah.
Exactly.
Good.
Thanks for that.
No, that's all right, love.
Yeah. That's all right, love.
Yeah. Wee little Laura.
Here she goes. There we are. And Amanda's on it straight away.
We got a gif?
We've got a gif.
Have we?
Of a snowboarding. I wish I could jump like that. We did do lots of jumps, but we did a lot of powder riding. So we made a jump in the powder and then we could jump up. And if you fall, you can just go plop. You know?
Absolutely.
Anyway.
Always worth a plop.
You know what I mean? I don't even know what noise to give it.
Yeah.
I can't think of a noise. It's not even a thud if you land in powder.
No, it's a plop, isn't it? It's definitely a plop.
It was a plop. But unfortunately, the same plop gives us another scenario.
Yeah.
Continue.
Similar outcomes.
Oh, and we've got another GIF coming in there. Chris Hyde.
Yep.
He hasn't sent us one for ages. They've gone GIF crazy, this gang that we've got on Twitter.
Yeah, why not? So we get some good ones, don't we?
We do.
Hey, listen, I've had a tweet, though.
What about?
Well, it's interesting because it's a tweet from our guest. It's a tweet from Tracy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she's saying, please, might I have a Business Bunker shout out? Yeah.
That is genius.
Yeah.
You're getting one.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's just over. That's overachieving, as Mr. Andrews would call you.
Yeah. He says, please, can we have a Business Bunker shout out for the very talented Tammy Clark? I'm thrilled with the design she's come up with for my kids' Be Your Best Self cards. I've been using my own version in kids' workshops, but it's great to see my original idea become a reality. So that's fantastic. And there's a picture of them, which is fantastic. And I'm sure Tracy's got one in the studio if you want to see it.
Yeah.
But that's Tammy Clark. Is Tammy not on the Twitter?
Not at the moment. So I've put her website address at the bottom. She's on Facebook.
Right.
The
website for Tammy, it's just Tam. ITSJUSTTAM. It's just tam.com.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Yeah. So do check her website out because she's brilliant. She's done a fabulous job for Tracy.
We had Tam in about 2 years ago, if you remember.
Yeah, we did.
I think it was last year. So, that was for women work with Anya.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Good stuff. What you got?
Oh, you want me to? Oh, well, let's go. Yeah, let's go straight something. Into
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
How rude. Well, how very, very rude.
It's 20 past one, you know.
Here we go, International Women's Day. We've got Friday the 8th of March at 9.30 till 4pm, and this is at Port Lim Hotel and Reserve in Hythe in Kent. This is the Aspinall Foundation and Butterflies events. Invites you to join them at a stunning Port Lim Hotel. There is a panel of women lined up to teach and discuss with you and share their experiences. So that's Jane, is it Michaud. Yeah. There we go. It's like, how would you pronounce that? Director of Fundraising at the Aspinall Foundation is Melanie Blythe. Head of UK Fleet Solutions at Shell. There's Gemma Fairclough-Haynes, owner of Orchard Employment Law. There's Frankie Conton, that's Primate Keeper at the Port Lim. And then there's Lucy Whitmore, and that's Retail Partnership at Director, and that's Cardlytics, is it?
Yep.
There we go. So, and there will be a load of women there. It's always a great day. Tickets are £45. It's for the full day. And that's all activities and lunch. Now, there is an early bird ticket before the 16th of February, and that's £39. You need to go to www.worldwideweb.butterfliesevents.co.uk/IWD event.
Fantastic. Thank you. While you were just saying that, yesterday was National Punning Day.
Right.
I don't know if you saw that. And one of the funniest puns relevant to what you've just read out, guy put, I've just started dating a really lovely lady that works in a zoo. I think she's a keeper.
Pudding char.
Which I thought was quite funny.
Yeah.
We've had a tweet from Kent Business Awards, and apparently it's your very, 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 very last chance to enter the Canterbury Business Awards.
I can't.
No, because you're in South Kent.
Just saying.
Not East Kent. Yeah.
I'm global.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm but just
you're
saying.
You're based in South Kent.
Oh, I could lie.
Yeah, you could. And if you lied, you could enter.
Thank you.
And it's open to businesses in Canterbury, Whitstable, Herne Bay, Margate, Ramsgate and Broadstairs, and not Herne Bay.
Anywhere else.
And not Hive.
Global.
Yeah. So, Canterbury, Whitstable, Herne Bay, Margate, Ramsgate and Broadstairs, if you're based in anywhere or anywhere on Thanet or the east of Kent.
How do they know?
How do they know what?
How do they know?
Know what?
Do you have to put an address?
Yeah.
Ah. Carry on.
It's all right. So do enter the Canterbury Business Awards. Yeah, it's your last chance today to enter. And there's loads of new categories.
What?
I don't know because I haven't got them listed here.
Hey, Bird and a Bike and Vanilla Web. Could we have a Business Bunker shout out, please? Sign up for Jobs in Kent free jobs alert service and get your next job delivered straight to your inbox. Thank you, Jobs in Kent.
That's all right. Cool. We've had a shout-out request from Dragon Co-working and from Network Express. So
here they are. Are you ready? Here it is.
Go on.
Carsfromkent.com.
Oh, it's your favourite little
Bird
stalker.
And Mike. Yeah. Hope snowboarding was awesome. Can we have our shout-out, please? Buy, sell your car locally on carsfromkent.com. There you go, Mitch. There it is. Yes, snowboarding was awesome, dude.
Cool. Nice one. Do you know what? I've got some cheesy tunage.
What have you got this week?
Well, see if you can get it in one. Yeah. It's a well-known track.
Da, da.
It's the Spinners.
Making my way back to you.
Working my way back to
that'll
you.
Be
working.
Rougher.
Do you see what I did there? Working my way back to you. Do you see what I did there?
Yeah. Let's not crush the lyrics.
Yeah.
Rift Accounting, your small business bodyguard. Riftaccounting.com.
Grow your business with Kent's Best Business Events. Visit bestbusinessevents.co.uk.
Phoenix Analysts Limited. Business consultants commissioning, procurement and quality assurance services. Helping you to get the most out of your business. Check our website for more details. PhoenixAnalystsLimited.com.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Want more business in Kent? Get 12 months membership for the price of 10 when you join our supplymybusiness.co.uk Kent business community today.
This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker show here on channelradio.co.uk/2 in association with bizradio.co.uk. I'm not going to go into it now, but I'm just sending our major, major thoughts and best wishes to Natasha Sutton at this moment in time, and we'll talk to you about that later. But we're thinking of you, Natasha. I've got quite a few tweets, some emails still to read, and we've got two fantastic guests to talk about. We're going to be talking about careers and jobs. I've had a tweet from Best Business Events, and they say, do you have a business blog that needs more visitors? If you let us know, we can list your blog feed on our Business Kent website and direct visitors straight to you. So if you want to know more about that, the best thing to do is to follow them on Twitter. Business Events number one is their Twitter handle.
I've got a question.
Yeah.
Why are we doing all about employment at the minute? So is there something that's happened you've got right? I really feel it's relevant to speak about this. Why are we doing a topic today?
Because we've got loads of people charging around the country telling us we're all going to die because of some political decision, and that millions of people are going to lose their jobs. It's complete nonsense. Not only aren't millions of people going to lose their jobs, we actually have the alternative problem. And the alternative problem is we don't have enough people to fill the jobs we've got. And for me, that's sad because there are still a lot of people without jobs. But it isn't because of a lack of jobs. And a lot of people think it is a lack of jobs, but it isn't. It's because they don't know how to go about getting a job that suits them. And that's the real key, as far as I'm concerned. And I hate to see the waste of talent, especially at a time when it's really hard to fill jobs.
Mm.
Yeah, it's really, really hard to fill jobs. I've got nearly 6,000 jobs in Kent, and it's just almost impossible to fill them.
Is there a skill that's absolutely showing a trend that's missing in these 6,000 jobs?
All of them. But let me tell you the major skill sets. There's 833,000 unfilled full-time jobs in the UK at the moment. 37% of those are in construction.
Construction meaning what?
Bricklaying, okay. Labouring, plumbing, electrical, plastering, dry lining, painting and decorating. The whole range of construction skills, including quantity surveying and civil engineering, and all the skills from high level to the lowest labouring levels are all in massively short supply.
Mm.
We've been relying on importing workers to do the jobs for the last 40 years. That's a problem.
So really, they're not going to get filled because at the minute, we then have to go back and retrain at something.
Yeah. Absolutely. We've spent. This is me having a bit of a rant before we talk to our guests about this. But it's bloody politicians again interfering with things.
How do you really feel?
But they interfere with things because they think it sounds clever. But the unintended consequences kick in. So 20-odd years ago, Blair started messing about trying to send everybody to university. The only reason they did that was to manipulate the job figures, which weren't so good back then, yeah? But the fact is we didn't need everyone to go to university. We needed people to do vocational training. Yes, we needed some people to go to university, but we also needed people to train as bricklayers or vehicle technicians or hairdressers or the other range of jobs.
Really interesting you say that. We went to a stay in a chalet, and I was talking to the chalet host, and she said, I'm in my second season and blah, 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 blah. And she said, I have been absolutely told off by friends and family because I didn't want to go to university. because I didn't know what I wanted to study, and I didn't want to get myself into debt to study something that I'm going to finish and not ever use. So she said, I thought I'd travel. She said, and still everybody goes, oh, you need to go to university. And it's crazy. I said to her, you've done the best thing. And there she is, you know, learning skills in customer service, in how to speak to people, in understanding human behaviour. Right, what does this guest want but somebody else doesn't want that? Mm-hmm. What is good service to you might be something I go, I don't find that of value to me. Yep. So I think those skills of adaptation are invaluable.
Absolutely.
That won't cost her £60,000 in debt.
Why get yourself in debt?
People don't even look at it, that, Daryl, as debt. She said, but my friends go, I'm not in debt.
Mm.
I'm like, but you are. Oh, that's exactly what you are, my darling.
Yeah, exactly. It's
they're framing it differently. That's all.
Absolutely. It's crazy. It's just, I just wish politicians would stop bloody interfering with everything, because they invariably get it wrong and cause more problems than they ever solve. However, we
isn't
are.
Isn't it their job though to interfere?
No, why should it be? Sure, from
I love poking the bear. You can see it, can't you, Tracy? You can see now, because you're one of our biggest listeners. You can see what I do here.
Yes, yeah.
This is my take on it. We require government, both local and national government, to provide a range of services to society that we couldn't provide in other means. Yeah, so you know, education, health, foreign affairs, military protection, and justice and law and order. Yeah, they're the key things that government should provide. I believe we ought to spend as much money as we can as a society on providing those kind of things. Yeah, especially social care and health and mental health and things like that. Okay, but then they want to interfere with absolutely everything else. And the reason they do that is they can't solve the major problems, so they try and solve loads of little ones to make themselves look good. And what they end up doing is creating more problems than they ever solve, because they just won't let things alone. It's politics, isn't it? And they're playing politics, and it's not a surprise. And I think this, for me, the salutary lesson out of this whole Brexit omni-shambles is just how useless our entire political class is. To a man and a woman, every single party, the lot of them, have made the biggest mess that they could ever make. And it just shows you what we've been dealing with is a bunch of useless people. And that's my take on it. But anyway, as far as the skills market is concerned, you asked me about shortages, mostly in construction, but digital shortages. 76% of small businesses have no business digital footprint because they can't acquire the skills to do it. Hospitality, you know, catering, hotel work, all those kind of things, healthcare. Massive shortages of people in every single industry apart from bricks and mortar retail. Bricks and mortar retail is the only one that hasn't really got a major problem in terms of staffing, and that's because most of the shops are shut.
Do you believe that to be true?
Well,
that most of the shops are shutting now, therefore surplus is...
Well, it's another classic. It's another absolute classic of political interference, yeah? The high street is dying, they say. So the politicians are now going, oh, we're going to save it. We're going to put in place business improvement districts, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do that, and we're going to put a fine on anybody that uses Amazon just so that you can keep a shop open. Go away. Just go away. The fact is, like everything else in life, it's evolving, yeah? Having, you know, things like shoe shops still survive in the high street because a lot of people want to actually try the shoes on to see if they're comfortable, yeah? Some people will buy cheap shoes from Amazon, absolutely, and then send them back if they don't fit. But the vast majority of people, especially people that spend a reasonable amount of money on shoes, will go into a shoe shop and try them on and walk around and see if they're comfortable. So a shoe shop will survive, yeah? You can't do online hairdressing or online tattoo parlours or online nail bars, yeah?
Beauty's brilliant.
Yeah, so all of those kind of things will survive and grow on the high street. But things that you can buy off of Amazon and get delivered this afternoon will not. Because you can't compete as a shop. You can't stock it and you can't deliver it as quickly as an online retailer can. So it's evolution. It's just changing. The high street will not die. It'll evolve and change into something else. It's becoming a more leisure activity, more coffee bars, more restaurants, and service businesses that you can't do remotely or virtually, such as hairdressing or whatever. And then, but people go, like, cool, there's just hairdressers in my high street. Yeah. Yeah, there is.
Yeah.
And that's, why is that wrong? Yeah. Well, because, you know, we used to have a hardware store. Yeah, but you can buy a tin bath from Amazon. Why do you need to go up a shop and buy it? You know?
Yeah.
So you got those kind of things. But in terms of the skill sets, again, this is where a lot of people, and I'm going to bring Daryl in a minute, because this is nicely teed up for kind of what he's doing.
We've practiced this.
Yeah, yeah. We planned all of this beforehand, didn't
hours.
We? We spent hours going over this and making sure that we got this right and fed you into it.
Scripted.
So one of the factors are people that look for shop work, yeah, can still find the same kind of work in a slightly different setting, yeah. So if you were thinking about working as I don't know what you call them, in America they call them a shop clerk, yeah, someone that stands behind a counter and sells things to people, yeah, you can still work in that kind of setting, but just not in a shop. You know, it would have to be a restaurant or a cafe.
Because those transferable skills are the same.
Because the transferable skills are exactly the same, and the type of things you need are exactly the same. And also, the drawbacks are the same. I was talking to some young people a couple of years ago in a college, and one of the lads there said, I want to work in fashion. I went, yeah, cool, nice. What do you want to do? Going to work in a clothes shop. I went, oh, okay, so you love dealing with people. And he went, oh, God, no. So why are you going to work in a clothes shop? Well, because I want to work in fashion. No, but in a clothes shop, you're dealing with people. It's customer service. You know, you're holding things up and telling them it fits and all the rest of it. Oh, I don't like that. Well, don't work in a clothes shop then. Yeah. But the transferable skills, as Tracy said, absolutely right. And people have to recognise that if that's where you want to work, you've just got to move slightly to a different place. So it's a great point to bring in Daryl. Daryl is from My Careers Options. Daryl, you have a platform that's going to help people sort this out in their own head, I do believe. Yeah. So why don't you tell us about My Careers Options, how it works, what it is, what it does? Yeah.
All right. So we've built an online platform that ideally helps people understand careers and opportunities for them that would takes into consideration their likes, dislikes, interests, preferences, their numeracy skills, their verbal reasoning and their spatial awareness. It looks at all aspects of an individual.
Right.
And then rather than sort of asking them what they believe they want to be when they don't really actually know, it gives them some suggestions of areas that they would naturally have a leaning towards.
Right.
So it's not saying that they should do it, but if you've got people that haven't got an idea or looking for some new ideas and direction, it gives them some suggestions.
Cool.
So we built it in partnership with Cambridge University and some of the careers advisors and stuff from Careers England. So we've got the clever people sitting behind us.
The gravitas behind it.
Yeah, we've got the gravitas behind it. And then you've got us out there sort of sharing the word and getting involved with people. So initially we were looking at working predominantly with students and working with schools. Mm. It's not that that's the only area you can work with. It's just where we focus for our original marketing. Yeah. So 11 to 19-year-olds, because there's a massive proportion of them that are all terrified because they don't know what they want to do for the rest of their life.
Mm.
And why should they?
Yeah, exactly.
But they need to identify where they're going to, if they're going to invest in university, make sure the reason you're investing is for the right reason.
Mm.
If you can do it on a vocational apprenticeship, or if you can do something else, or you go and do a year's, take a year out to go and find out what the world's like and experience stuff, So, but the idea is to give some suggestions and ideas to people that don't really know.
Mm.
More and more that we've actually started getting into it, we're finding out that we're talking now to apprenticeship companies, recruitment. So it's sort of evolving as we're going along.
Sure, yeah.
Even the international market is quite interested in how they could apply it. So, it's exciting times.
Okay, can you give us a flavour, Daryl, of what it's like to actually use the platform and how you started off thinking about how people would use it?
Yeah, so initially, obviously, we were looking at working with schools because obviously, if you may or may not heard, obviously, they've got the Gatsby benchmarks, which is what schools have to hopefully deliver for all the students. So all students are entitled to sort of individual personal guidance around careers and getting them prepared for the workplace, etc., with regards to the skills, etc., they need. So what we wanted to do was find something that was going to be not boring. I'll say inverted commas, because a lot of it is really a bit stuffy, a bit, you know, unfun, if you like. So we had a panel of students from year 8 to 13. Quite happily told them to, we wouldn't be offended. They could quite, you know, be honest if they hated our ideas, if they didn't like the colours, whatever they wanted, basically. So what we've ended up with is a platform where it takes about an hour to do the assessment. They can stop and start. You could do a question a day if you want, or you could do it all in one go. The idea is to take your time. The kids suggested that they should be able to dip in and out of it. So it's got, you know, you can leave it and come back where you left off. We've included skip buttons. So on the numeracy questions, for example, rather than you get a 10-year-old that's really despondent because they can't answer a question, there is the ability to skip a question. That doesn't mean, obviously, the system knows it's incorrect, but from the kids' point of view, they haven't done it wrong. So we've looked at all aspects, even down to the design and colour and everything. So the idea is it takes about an hour, and at the end of the hour, they get these 10 suggestions, which they can all tap into and find out more about each of the jobs. So as in what they'd earn, what a day looks like, what a role, you know, the actual role of that job is, what qualifications you would need, and what route to those qualifications you could follow. So, yeah, it's basically a conversation starter. It's not the be-all and end-all, but it's an actual, you know, and it's there to help parents. So the idea is, a student would be able to use the system. If it's connected through the school would have access to the system as well. And obviously parents would be the ones that registered it with regards to data protection and stuff. So you've got all three people involved in the process. Whereas we did a load of research at the beginning, and it was it blew my mind, being a parent, how many parents said, oh, it would be lovely to be more involved. And how many of the schools said, it'd be great if you could get parents more involved. And you're thinking, well, actually you've got their kids. Or you give your child to this place every day for X many years, why wouldn't you be more involved? Maybe I was just one of those parents that couldn't help myself, but that confused me. I couldn't understand it. So what we've done is built a system that actually connects all three involved in the whole process. So if mum and dad don't know what it is to be a, I don't know, chiropodist or whatever it happens to be, the information in the system is there to help them and talks to them about what's needed.
I think that's why it's so important, because as someone that does quite a bit of work in schools and colleges talking to young people about the world of work, parents are the worst. because from two points of view, one, as you highlighted, an awful lot of parents just don't have any experience of a lot of the occupations that could be done, and that's not a surprise. They're not career consultants, you know. Their only experience of work is what they do for a job, you know. But the worst thing for me is parents telling kids how to apply for a job because they don't know, because it changed. Yeah, it changed from when they applied to jobs and how the job market worked to how it works today is radically different. And in Jobs in Kent, we see so many failures brought about by this lack of knowledge about how to work the job market as it exists in the 21st century. And a lot of that's down to parents going, no, you must do this, you must do this, you must do this. And they're wrong, because what they're telling them was right 20 years ago, but isn't right now. You've kind of focused on schools, which kind of makes an awful lot of sense to start with.
Well, that was initially our plan, and that's what we've started doing. And we are talking to schools. We're letting schools do free assessments so they can get a feel for if it works for them, because we don't want anyone doing it if it's not going to be useful or beneficial to them. But that said, more and more now it's kind of leaning towards looking at sort of, you know, speaking to apprenticeship companies, recruitment companies and all that sort of stuff, because actually I think we was at an event last week with the FSB, and one of the things I was trying to say then was, actually, if you look at all the people that have been in the services, coming out of the services, how they then, you know, you've been 10 years in the army, for example, and you want to find out where your place is in society, or where you could go and what you could do, we have a platform that's going to be able to help those individuals find out what's available now. Because 10 years ago, when they went into, you know, to service for the country, etc., the jobs that are available now didn't exist. So actually it's just kind of, it's a tool actually that's going to help people. It's never going to do it for everybody, but the idea is to give them what they need to help them.
Go on.
What's the decision process that somebody decides, this is what I want to be when I grow up?
What? I think the scary thing is it's the pressure of people sitting there going, right, what do you want to be?
Exactly, yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, when you've got somebody that, you know, is under 20, for example, why should they know? Mm. I didn't have a clue. I was told to go and join the bank because everyone was always going to need money. I'd never be out of a job. There was no logic behind it. You know, that's
the logic was you'd always be employed.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But there was no rational reason behind my skill set, my likes, my dislikes, what I would excel at. Mm. Because if anybody had looked at me as a student, they'd have realised I'm much more creative than I am academic, if you like. Mm. I'm much more of a problem solver and stuff like that. And banking, it was all right. It was fine. It paid me, you know. Mm. I was loaded.
Yeah.
Back then. But actually, realistically, if I'd have gone down a path of something that was more akin to me, I would never have gone down that route.
Exactly.
And do you find that this is happening now, that we are very much, you've got to go and do it, and I know that you're going to start it, so prepare yourself to rant. But you know when you go, just do a job that you love.
Yeah. I hate that.
See what I mean? I know him so well.
Yeah.
So it's like, do you find that? Do you find that's quite a trend now?
Do you remember we had this conversation when you were saying about how much you hate that? However, I generally think the jobs I've done, I've really, really enjoyed doing. I've liked being in them. I've liked the people I've worked with. And I think it's really important because you're there a long time and you spend more time than you do with your family. You have to enjoy it. That said, I don't think it's easy to say, I love, you know, snowboarding. Yeah. I'm going to be a snowboarding trainer or whatever it's going to be.
Yeah, yeah. My issue for this stems from this. I have no problem with you enjoying the work you do.
Yeah.
The more you enjoy it, the better asset you're going to be. My problem comes with this is if you tell people that have no experience of the world of work, do something you love, they're going to just think about things that they love. Yeah. But they've not done anything. So the things that they love is football, music, fashion.
Holidays.
Yeah, and holidays, because that's their only experience of things that they really enjoy doing. And that isn't a way to build a career.
So are you an advocate then for young people to travel the world and see more, therefore they will become more?
Yes, I am. I do feel that the more worldly experience you have, the better. Employers, certainly modern employers, are much more open to employing people that have put themselves out there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And also, this is from personal experience from my own kids. Employers also don't mind if you quit a job, go and do something interesting, then come back. They're not as fussed, you know. Mm. Back in my, I know I'm really old, but back in my day, when my first job when I left school, I worked in a paper mill, and the paper mill went broke, and we were all made redundant. And my dad kicked the crap out of me. Yeah, you're 15 years old, and you've already lost a job. You'll be unemployable now. Yeah, because in his generation, you left school, got a job, 50 years later, you retired and dropped dead. And that's what happened, yeah? That does not happen anymore. My big thing about the world of work for young people is experience something first, then decide what you love, yeah? You can't decide to love something before you've experienced anything, yeah?
And you have to be good at it.
Yeah. Although, you see...
But you can get better at it.
Well, the thing is... This is my view on it, and I'll be really interested in your view on this. My view on it is that we tend to end up loving work we do because we eventually find something that we're good at and we enjoy doing it. And we enjoy doing it because we've got so much experience of doing it that it's actually easy, yeah, because we know what we're doing, yeah. So it's almost a reverse process. In order to determine what to do, I'm a massive believer in understanding your transferable skills. Yeah. Really? Am I a people person or am I a things person or am I a data person? And unless you know that, you don't know what direction to take. And that's where I suspect, and I want to talk to Daryl about this, if you know the inner workings of the platform, I suspect that underlying the platform, there's a lot of that kind of analysis going on.
Yeah, so, I mean, ultimately, you're right. So you will find a job that you end up in and you become good at and you like the people you work with and so on and so forth. But initially, it's finding out where you're going to be. Are you going to be a plumber? Are you going to be an electrician? Are you going to be a barrister or a barista or whatever it is going to happen to be?
Yeah.
And actually, initially, it's looking at all of the skills that are required to do any of those tasks.
Yeah.
So, yes, the platform basically does that bit for you. It says, right, based on everything you're interested in, so if you like snowboarding and you like spending time with people and actually you've got good spatial awareness and so on, you have the ability to do these sorts of things.
What can
these
I do?
Yeah, exactly.
What can I do?
What could you do?
What can I do?
You can do the assessment and find out.
I'm up for it.
All over there,
We should do that. Yeah, you should have got us to do it.
I should do it. Before. Right, then I apologise next Tuesday when they're not on here because they're off doing something
We're not supposed to do this.
Yeah, I'm not doing that anymore. Yeah, wasting my time. I'm going to be a rat smasher, me.
Apparently, I've not got the skills for it.
Yeah, but so the idea is to, you know, if people haven't got... I mean, similarly, I'll have a conversation with somebody that'll say, I want to do the assessment because I know I want to be a barrister. And you say, well, don't do the assessment.
Yeah.
If you know what you want to be, you need to align everything to focus on what it is you want to achieve.
But even with that, I still think you need to be careful when you're talking with young people.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, and what I mean by that is you get two things happen. A lot of people go, I want to be a doctor, I want to be a barrister, I want to be this, because there's a family trait of being in it, yeah? And sometimes that works, you know, sometimes it is hereditary and, you know, because if you grow up around someone that is a doctor, you tend to spend your time talking about medical things and you get to know stuff. But there's another trait that happens. Somebody wants to be a barrister because they watch Perry Mason on the telly.
CSI investigators.
I did that.
Yeah.
I wanted to be a nurse at the age of 13 because I watched Angels.
Jules, yeah. Emergency
and I wanted
Ward 10.
The hat and serious.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm a great nurse, by the way.
Yeah.
But how blessed am I to have found that, wow, that was what I love.
Yeah.
But there's so many kids that want to be the next Bones or CSI investigations, etc.
Yeah. And you see that so often. And one of the things I love about what you've explained about your platform is it gives you a much better understanding of what's involved in those things. You know, the trouble is people can see a stylized version of something, you know, of being a barrister. They don't actually understand, you know, they think being a barrister is being a smart ass in court and going, I put it to you, yeah, that you're a little toe rag, yeah? And they see that and they think, I could do that. But the work of a barrister involves actually reading thousands and thousands of bits of judicial nonsense that are brain damaging for most of us. You know, it is dry, unimaginative, repetitive work. And if people don't understand that's the bulk of the work, then they can go through all the training, you know, which is expensive and time consuming, get there. And then when they find out what the job's actually about, they hate it.
One of the most influential women of our time at this minute is Michelle Obama.
Yeah.
Who did exactly that. Hated being a lawyer.
Yeah.
I mean, it's lucky that she, obviously, where she is, that's, you know, but that's exactly what she did.
Yeah.
Did all of that training, did all of that work, and then said, oh, I don't want to do it, and then had to tell her family. And it's that repercussions, isn't it? It's those skills.
Well, I was going to say, my niece and boyfriend both were really interested in joining the police and I think the police do an amazing job, obviously. However, she's kind of gone on and she does the specials, but she also does all the 999s and all that sort of stuff. She loves it, absolutely loves it. It's a different day every day and all that sort of stuff. But as a special, she goes in and she does all the stuff that the police do, but she doesn't have the admin side. Now, the boyfriend's gone in. I think she will join the police, but the boyfriend's gone in, done the police, and actually realised, which he had no clue to start with, is
it's all paperwork.
85% of it's paperwork.
Yeah.
And when you're thinking about what you want to do, you know, hopefully within the system, this bit where it says you're going to be doing filing, you're going to do this, you find out what a day actually looks like. I think it's really important.
And that is crucial, and that is why I'm so against this doing something you love, because people don't know about the ins and outs of an actual job and what is really involved in the day-to-day of a job, unless they talk to someone that does it or they use a platform like My Careers Options.
And I think another good thing is if you're interested in something, then don't wait for your school to suggest there should be some sort of careers, you know, work experience. Go and find out. So, you know, a cousin's daughter was interested in accountancy. So I just said, like, you know, let's try and get you a place. Go and do a week in an accountancy firm.
Yeah.
If at the end of the week you really like it, great. If you don't,
you know, you've learned something. Yeah,
exactly.
I absolutely believe in that. I absolutely believe in people trying things. And just, you know, nowadays, it's so much easier to find out things, yeah, because you've got the internet and Google and stuff like that. It's so much easier to go and do some research, find out about it, find a lot of people, email someone, you know, go onto LinkedIn, find an accountant, email them, go, sorry to disturb you, I'm doing my A-levels at school or whatever I'm doing, and I'm thinking of becoming an accountant. Would you mind telling me what you feel being an accountant's about? How do you find it? Are you disappointed you become an accountant? You know, are you pleased you become an accountant or whatever? You know, a mate of mine was a lawyer and he ended up owning his own solicitor's firm. He hated every single day of his life. He always actually wanted to be a flamenco guitarist, and he was a bloody brilliant flamenco guitarist. He couldn't make any money without being a flamenco guitarist, so he had to be a lawyer. And then he spent his entire spare time playing guitar and recording his own music, and that was the only thing that ever made him happy. And then eventually he sold his law firm and just played guitar, and it was the happiest he'd ever been in his life. But, you know, funnily enough, there's a corresponding skill set between those two things in terms of being data orientated, because music is very much symbolic manipulation. But I find it fascinating, and that's why I kind of shy away from people doing stuff they love unless they understand what's really involved in it and what the underlying transferable skills are. Not just the skills of the job, but the requirements of the job. You know, what do you spend 90% of your time doing? And is that what you want to do? Yeah. Don't get carried away with the superficial behind it. Yeah. Cool. So, Daryl,
yes.
The platform. If people want to have a go at this,
yep.
How do they do it?
Well, they can contact me, mm-hmm. Daryl, Darrell, at mycareersoptions.co.uk. We're obviously, it's available online. If there's any apprenticeship companies, recruitment companies, schools that yep. want to try it out, then obviously I'll set it up so they can have a free go and have a, you know, try it out on some of their
yep.
people. But yeah, just contact us if you feel there's an opportunity. I mean, more and more we're talking to people with regards to partnerships, really.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
I think that's going to be the way forward for the business.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be important for schools.
Mm.
But yeah, so it's being able to help as many different people as possible.
Absolutely. You made reference to it earlier, and you're absolutely right. There's a huge opportunity here for recruitment businesses. One of the issues for recruitment businesses, you quite often get people kind of registered with you, don't really know what they want to do, and they tend to can be dismissed by recruitment companies because they go, well, if you don't know what you want to do, why should I know what you want to do? Whereas being able to offer them a tool like this
yeah.
could be really useful.
Well, with the school side of things, what we do is we, you know, the money that comes in through the schools, we also give donations back to the school to reinvest in other programs.
Mm.
And more we're finding out that with regards to charities, so there's a lot of charities out there that are asking us questions with regards to how we can help them with some of the kids that aren't or needing the support and looking like people prefer or the referral units and all those sorts of things.
Sure.
So it's kind of opening up in all different directions at the moment, but
absolutely.
We're happy to speak to anybody that feels it's going to be a benefit to them and, you know, the people they're interacting with.
Fantastic. Darrell, thank you so much for that. Do stay with us. We're going to talk to Tracy in the second half of the show, and we're going to carry on this discussion about skills, jobs, the world of work, and a bit of ranting from me, no doubt, about this, that and t'other. We're almost at time to join the newsroom, but you've got time, Bird, for one more email or tweet.
Oh, how exciting. The pressure.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, my God, I'm going to have to work.
Well,
go on. Well, look, Chris Hyde has said, Vanilla Webb, did you know that Working My Way Back to You was by the Spinners, but... I had to change their name to Detroit Spinners.
Yeah.
Why?
Because they were already a folk band called the Spinners.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, don't forget, we've got a quiz team.
We have.
And I went back and looked at Ethelbrite, and they did the Listen Again.
Yeah.
And they are trying to get people to compete against us now.
Are they?
Yeah.
We got the Business Bunker quizzes on April
and
the 4th.
We are so clever.
Yeah.
Aren't we?
Brain like a planet. Yeah.
No, you and I, that's it.
Yeah, absolutely.
We can't wait.
We've got a team going April the 4th, Chilston Park, in aid of bladder cancer.
It is.
Yeah. And it's only £25 for a table. And you
come
can
and
have
beat
a,
us.
You can have up to 8 people, and you'll need them to beat me and Bird.
You know
really
what?
Will.
You know what we need to do? We need to put a little gift together. So if you beat us, this is what you get.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
A seat on the Business Bunker Show.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, April the 4th. If you want to know more about it, go to follow Athelbray LTD on the Twitter, and they'll tell you all about it. But it's now time for us to join the Channel Radio newsroom. And then when we come back, we've got some more exciting guests to talk to and more fun and frolics. So here we go.
on the hour. Channel Radio News Update.